Let us pray. Gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the meditations, feelings, and responses of all those who hear, that this might be a time when we recognize we are gifted and live out of those gifts into your future. In Jesus' name, amen. It had been a very anxious time. A lot of people were suffering. People who began to wonder where their next meal was going to come from, if it would come. People whose future felt threatened. Many people who joined in that anxiety across the land. And then he came forward. He approached the lectern and he announced that the government shutdown had ended. I don't know about you, but even though it was a president of a different country, I was relieved. It was an issue that was affecting many, not only the 800,000 government workers and contractors whose lives had become a political football, but also international trade, our postal system, and I am flying into Newark Airport in a couple of weeks to attend a conference at Princeton, and I was getting worried about air traffic controllers, let alone the wait at customs. And it was a palpable sense of relief, even to me, when it was announced that shutdown had ended. Now, if you can, cast your mind back a couple of thousand years to even greater anxiety for a longer period of time. People under the oppression of a Roman power, people who had lived in poverty, in exclusion, people who felt threatened, people who had been long waiting for that promised liberation from these uncertainties and doubts. And then they heard about the native son. He'd been going throughout the synagogues and highways and byways of Galilee, his reputation spreading. Amazing things done, amazing words spoken. Their anticipation had been heightened. Think of the readers of the Gospel of Luke. Luke had prepared them well. He is the consummate storyteller, and he had brought us to a point of fevered expectation. Began with that story of an amazing birth, accompanied by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We move to the story of his baptism. Again, John the Baptist, all the expectations surrounding him, and then he said, after me is coming one more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then Jesus is baptized, and the Spirit again descends upon him. We're told, this is my beloved son. Then we're treated to a long genealogy of his family background, all the way back to Adam and to God. The anticipation is increased as he's launched into the wilderness by the Spirit, and there with the Spirit he endures the temptation which the children of Israel could not endure. He proves himself to be the faithful Israelite. And he comes out of that place again with the Spirit. And we're told, full of the Spirit, he comes into Galilee and into the synagogue that day, and here we are to hear his first words. stands up, and he has the scroll of the prophet Isaiah presented to him. Now we have been brought to this pinnacle of expectation, excitement, anticipation, but in many ways this is a very ordinary moment. Because Jesus was there in church on the Sabbath. It was, we're told, his custom, as it was the custom for most people in that day and that time and for the next 3,000 years or 2,000 years, and I hope beyond. And it wasn't unusual for synagogues in those days to have an itinerant rabbi or scholar or well-known guest come, and the village would extend the hospitality of the synagogue to that person and invite them to come forward and read from the scroll and interpret that to bring a word to them. It was very usual. This would be a typical synagogue in that time in Galilee. Kind of rectangular building, and around the edges of it would be benches where the congregation would sit. Sometimes it would be a gallery for the women. In the center of that place would be a lectern or reading desk. This is a picture I took of the synagogue in Magdala. And, you know, when you go to Israel, you're often taken on a tour to the synagogue in Capernaum, which is a marvelous building and kind of Greek in structure, somewhere later in the second century, largely likely constructed over top of the first century synagogue there. But in Magdala, and this is a fairly recent excavation, begun in 2009, they uncovered one of the oldest synagogues they have found in Palestine, in Israel. This is it, and they can date it certainly back to 29 AD, because they found coins minted in nearby Tiberias there with that date on them. And it was an amazing thing to me, because looking at this synagogue, and this is the mosaic floor there, I realized this was likely a floor on which Jesus walked. Magdala, we know it well because it is the hometown of Mary Magdalene, or Mary of Magdala. It's preserved because it was a place almost entirely decimated by the Romans during the rebellion, 66 to 70 AD. And it ceased to exist as a village, so it got buried over, nothing built on top of it. And there in the synagogue, I saw this remarkable thing. This is a lectern for scrolls. You can see on each side of it two grooves, where when you open the scroll, you'd put the ends of the scroll in those grooves to hold it open at that place. And I thought, well, maybe Jesus read from that lectern. It was an ordinary occurrence in synagogues in Galilee on the Sabbath. And this young rabbi stood up to read. I expect the synagogue would have been filled that day. People no longer able to be confined to the seats on the side, filling the center because they had heard about this guy. His reputation had preceded him, and so they longed to hear a new word from this young man. And so he read. He chose a section of Isaiah's scroll, chapter 61, which spoke of the year of Jubilee, the time of the Lord's favor, when the slaves would be released from their bondage and people would return back free to the lands that had been given to them by God. Free from debt, free from slavery, free for the future. And he read selectively. If you read from Isaiah 61, Jesus stops at the place where it continues on, where it says, "And he proclaimed the year of the Lord's vengeance." He didn't read that part. He stopped at the year of the Lord's favor. Sometimes they accuse us preachers of reading selectively from Scripture, and I'll tell you, we follow in good footsteps when we do that. Jesus read, and then he said something very unusual. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What did that mean? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and to proclaim deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, fulfilled in your hearing. What could this mean to people who had long suffered under oppression, who had long suffered in poverty, who had long waited for God to do what God had promised and restore good fortune and freedom to Israel? Fulfilled in your hearing today? Well, we're going to see next week how they responded. But how are we to respond? Because we're hearing this again. And it is still true. If you felt relief for Americans and relief for ourselves when Donald Trump announced the end of the government shutdown, what can you feel when in this sorrowful world of ours, where we can elect tyrants as politicians to lead us, I won't name names again, but it's happening all over, and it's happened throughout these last 2,000 years, where people go hungry and good people go with bad things happening in their lives. What does it mean to say, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing," because that is still true today? How can we be so gifted? How can we receive this Spirit which filled Jesus from the moment of his birth to this moment in the synagogue to that day when he rose from the grave? How can we be so gifted? Do you know the parable of the elephant and the rope? I don't know if you can make it out in this picture, but there's a rope holding this big fella or big gal, I don't know which. Someone walking by an elephant this way, amazed at the fact that such a small rope could hold such a large creature, asked the handler how that could be. The handler simply said, "You know, when it's a little elephant, we put the rope around its foot and put the stake in the ground, and it learns quickly that it cannot move because of that rope. As it grows older, although that rope can no longer hold the elephant, it simply has settled for the fact that when that rope is on its foot, it cannot move. We don't even have to put the stake in the ground anymore. When that rope is on its foot, it cannot move." How many of us have a rope around our foot? Maybe it's around our heart. Maybe it's around our hand or our eyes or our ears. And we feel, because of something that has happened in our past, because of someone who may have diminished our sense of being significant in this world, or something, some trauma which has told us we cannot go there, we cannot dare. We are tied from living into God's future for us. We are tied from recognizing, even in our ordinary lives, we are also a hand or a foot or an eye or a mouth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. How many of us live our lives with a rope tied to us? Well, friends, today that rope is unfastened. Today, there is nothing tying you from God's significance. Today, you are free. In your hearing, Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word risen from the dead, has come to us to say that you are part of my future for this humanity and this creation. There's nothing tying us from loving one another. There's nothing preventing us from reaching out with healing or caring or food or warmth or anything else that you think the world has prevented you from the power of giving. Today, within your hearing, you are part of the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing. In our ordinary lives, in our ordinary Sunday worship, the miracle is declared. There's a miracle that happened, over and over again these past few years that you've been part of, you may not know about, but I received an email this week telling me about its latest development. A few years ago, you helped a woman named Bezia. She was in a terrible situation. She lived in Rexdale, and she was trying to keep her children from falling into the gang warfare that had ensnared their father. Their father had just been released from jail, and he had just been killed in a drive-by shooting. Her partner at that time had also just been in a terrible car accident and nearly died. And her world and her support was falling down around her, and her children were in danger of being sucked into this world which had killed her former husband. And she reached out for help, and thank goodness, through Sharon Jorgens and Barbara Sheffield, she was connected with Kingsway Lambton, and we supported her. Helped her get through her nurse's training, help her to claim a new life. It was a few years ago, and Barbara has kept me in touch with Bezia since then, and I got an email this week, and it is amazing. This is what she wrote in the email, and you'll have to forgive her spelling and grammar a little. She writes this: "I'm officially a business owner. I changed the name from Rise Nation, as you knew, to DREAM, D-R-E-A-M Company. Stands for Desire, Respect, Empower, Ambition, and Motivation. It's a motivational clothing line with t-shirts and jogging suits and more to come. I'm currently looking for some startup grants for startups. Do you know of any that are not loans to assist with some supply costs? Also, I'm doing some reading on charities, wanted to start my own. Names after the kids, call it JD Foundation. Bezia starting her own foundation. JD is both their initials. It will be a foundation for the youth and for those in need. She is working. She's now an entrepreneur beginning her own clothing line, and she's establishing a charitable foundation to help other youth in need. Now, to me, there's hands and feet and heart and a whole lot of other parts of the body going on. There's a woman who a few years ago was totally wrapped in ropes and fear and anxiety. But, and we can take very little credit, but we can take a little credit in this. She knew that the one who came to the synagogue in Nazareth that day was with her and for her, and proclaimed her release and her deliverance and her jubilee. And so, today in our hearing, let us receive this Spirit and remember how gifted you are. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us today to hear your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us come together now as a family in prayer. The response pattern is in your order of service. At the center of the fifth page, or